That we meditate on today is drawn from the first lesson as we consider not just a gory story, but glory. As I left you a slide here today, a friend of mine this last week posted this on her Facebook page, and I told her, I said, I'm going to use that because that so much fits what I'm going to be talking about this morning a little bit with regards to storytelling. We see some things in our story today that maybe we wish weren't there. We all know people who tell stories. Maybe they're able to tell, they have the art of the story. They can go right to what needs to be said, and they said it. But then every one of us also knows people in our lives. Maybe we're that individual ourselves who has to include every little tidbit of the story that is possible with going off in this tangent and then going off in that tangent, which can be helpful if you're trying to solve a problem and you're trying to get all of the little precious details along the way and you're trying to decipher a situation. But sometimes time is of the essence. Sometimes certain elements of the story are rather redundant or embarrassing or just plain unnecessary and unpleasant to hear. Just give me the facts. Tell me the facts. Spare me all the gory details. Which we might be thinking this morning. I mean, after all, Luke does include some things in the story today that we might wish that he really didn't have to tell us. Some things that, though, that he would probably be in tune with, because Luke was a physician. He was one of those detailed kinds of people who looks at those kinds of minutiae and then likes to include them in the story, especially as he is telling it today. This man, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all of his bowels gushed out. I hope none of you had breakfast. It is a little odd that he includes this. Matthew simply records the fact that Judas went out and hung himself. But then again, when the Bible tells us something, the Bible that doesn't include everything that we would like to know, all of us have questions. Why didn't God give us a little bit more information about that? When the Bible that doesn't tell us everything that we would like to know does tell us some things, even some things that we maybe personally prefer not to hear, or maybe things that we would maybe just prefer not to know, when the Bible does take time to tell us these things, maybe we should sit up and take notice. Something important might be here. It certainly is interesting that Luke chooses to give us this information here in this particular place. Not in the gospel, but here in Acts. A text that begins on such a high note. I mean, after all, Christ is risen. And the early church was celebrating that. They were excited about that. The early Christian church is rejoicing in the wake of Christ's resurrection. They have seen and witnessed him ascend into heaven. They have heard the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, talk to them, share with them, tell them particular details, go back into the Old Testament scriptures and connect them. Connect those Old Testament scriptures to the events that were taking place in that day. The risen Christ had taught his disciples, promised the Holy Spirit, sent them back to wait for that Spirit's bestowal upon the church. And now they are gathering. They are gathering regularly for fellowship and for engagement and fervent prayer. Church has emerged from this blessed event, even as Luke is relating it to his friend Theophilus. This young church has blossomed and continued to grow. And the replacement of Judas with Matthias, this too has been a blessing, as the number 12 disciples were now 12 apostles. And those 12 apostles went out into the world, into the church. We don't know a lot specifically about Matthias and his ministry. A lot of stuff that goes on that is shared about tradition and thoughts about where Matthias may have gone. But we know that he was numbered amongst the 12. And he participated in the work and ministry of that early church that grew. It is noted several times in this book of Acts how the Lord added to their number daily. In all of this, we see how sin and death and hell have no power, really, over Christ and his church and the work and ministry of his Spirit. As Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. But that doesn't mean that these enemies, it doesn't mean that these enemies cease to wreak havoc in the world and in our lives. Quite to the contrary, if you look at the context of Paul's message there when he says we are more than conquerors, when you look there in the context of Romans chapter 8, I think you'll see what I mean. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. All of those things are mentioned with regards to the people of God in Christ Jesus. But we are more than conquerors over them. That's Paul's point. We are more than conquerors over them. We are more than conquerors, but we still face them. And we still face every day all of the gory details. If there's any doubt, this gory story about Judas is there to kind of wake us up. This gory story is there to snap us out of any kind of false fairy tale-like narrative that is going on in our head with regards to this world and with regards to this life, even if we are Christians. Here is one in Judas who sat at the very feet of Jesus. Here is one who learned firsthand from our Lord and Savior. Here is one who heard the word of truth. And he still fell. Here we see how humanity is not inherently good. But as we confess many Sundays, we are by nature sinful and unclean. We are dead in sin, Ephesians 2, chapter 1. We are hostile to God by nature, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Sin has its hold on us. Sin has had a hold on us ever since we traded the goodness of God's creation, ever since we traded God's image with the image of Adam way back in the garden and all of its deadly consequences. And ever since then, sin has been wreaking its havoc upon God's good creation. Sin is destructive by nature. It is not something to be dabbled in. It is not something to be experimented with. It is not something to be tested and tried. It is serious business. It's the serious business that we see Jesus willingly taking on himself, but not his own, but ours. Please change the slide. That's the serious business that Jesus took on himself. He who knew no sin took on your sin and mine and all of its ilk. And he faced it face to face. Stunning, really. We only read about Judas, but the stunning similarities between Judas's gory death and Jesus's gory death. And it's not just in the gory details that we can see in the picture today. It's not just in those gory details, but it's in the fact that both of these deaths and all of their gore was foretold. Although there are things about that foretelling that are not always clear to us, they're kind of beyond our understanding. We know that Jesus spent time teaching his apostles, teaching them, telling them, relating to them those Old Testament scriptures and how they all connected together. And Luke clearly quotes Peter as teaching and reminding his brothers that were gathered together there that the scriptures had to be fulfilled and that that's why Judas's death occurred. That those scriptures that the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas. We see some of those things being foretold and fulfilled. And we see that they're not all of the good warm feeling kind of things. They're not all the stuff of the good news of great joy that is for all the people that we like to hear at Christmas. Some prophecies of Scripture are rather tragic in their fulfillment, hard for us to hear. The same thing is true about Jesus, whom the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Rather like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth." Jesus would go willingly to his death. He chose a horrific death in all of its gore, just like Judas did. But this is where the similarities really begin to part. Unlike Peter and the rest of the disciples who came and sought out our Lord's grace and forgiveness in the midst of their denials and in the midst of their desertion to forgive them, Judas believed that there was no forgiveness. Judas believed there was no hope for him. Judas chose to take his life and all of the gory details out of despair. Jesus chose to give his life as a ransom for you. Jesus chose to give his life. Jesus gave his life for the joy that was set before him, a joy that he would make your own. The gory death of Judas makes us turn away in disgust and sadness. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Rather than turning away from the cross, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We praise the blood of Jesus, that precious blood, as we sang just a few moments ago. We come today at this table and we hold in our hands that very precious body and partake of his precious blood. We receive in himself all that that body and blood gave and won for us, the victory that he won in the empty tomb. It's not just a gory story. The gory details of Judas's death starkly remind us of the horrific enemies that you and I face. Sin and death and hell and Satan. And yet the gory but even more glorious death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ assures us that all of these enemies have been vanquished. They cannot win. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.